Guest host. Every speck of space is someone's home. No, it's even more intense than that. Everything you touch is alive, so it must live somewhere. The air you breathe comes swirling in, fueling your cells, happy combustion. You are a guest everywhere you step, because everywhere you step, somebody already lives, be it cricket, ferret, louse, or mouse. And strangely, equally, you are a host. Who else is there to greet the guest who sits in your hammock? So relax. Enjoy your dual role. Pull up a chair. Pull up a pew. Pull up a couch. Party down. Weary wanderer, you must learn to share your home. Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan. We are a welcoming community, and you are welcome here. Whatever your faith, whatever your walk in life, you are welcome. If this is your first time visiting our fellowship, we are happy that you've chosen to spend this morning with us. We hope that you can stay for coffee and conversation after the service, that we can get to know one another. If you have been considering becoming a member, please talk to our welcoming and membership committee chair, Shirley Hobrock. Now we'll have the chalice lighting. In lighting this chalice, we recognize the flame that unites us all, from the molten core of our planet to the fusion of hydrogen in stars, to the fire in the nucleus of every cell of every plant and every animal. We all live by burning bright, by shedding our collective light for all to see. Thank you. Please stand as you are able for the opening hymn, 1018, Come and Go With Me.
Come and go with me.
I call your attention to the announcements and the order of service. Please read them to see what's happening at UUFM. I have an announcement from Ann Cowan. There will be no Social Action Committee meeting this Wednesday. We will reschedule that. And also, please make note of the Roots of Injustice, Seeds of Change insert. Ann and I will be the people that you could register with. And we need a couple of helpers for this workshop, so we'll be staying after the service today if any of you want to volunteer to help with that workshop. Also, Katie Kingery Page, the chair of our executive board, has asked that we all sign the card to our new minister, the Reverend John Alou Johnstone. So please note that it's right outside the door. There's a card. Please make a note, a welcome note, and help us greet her. Reverend Johnstone will hold her first service here on August 23rd, so I hope that you can all join us for that. Now it's time for joys and concerns. Ours is a sharing community where our joys are amplified, a caring community where our sorrows are lessened. Let us take a moment to reflect on our joys and sorrows and acknowledge the mutual support of this community. If you would like to briefly share a joy or sorrow from your life, please raise your hand so the microphone can be brought to you.
Ann Cowan here. Now that I am getting better, I want to thank everyone in the fellowship who was supportive of me during my summer of surgeries. It was amazing how this became my support group. Many of you drove me, brought me food, wished me well, and it was very important to me. I can't mention names because I would leave someone out, but a large number of people here helped me out. Now that I'm driving again, I wish to repay some of those drives, so if anybody needs a ride someplace, let me know. And special thanks to Betty Banner here, who was my major support group because she lives around the corner. She was there to make sure I had what I needed, kept me company, and made sure that I was taken care of. So thank you all very much.
Well, as you guys know, I went to Japan, and I thought I'd let you guys know I had a blast. I saw a lot of temples, a lot of shrines, and it was a very good experience for me. And I plan to go back probably in a couple of years. So, thank you.
We're Barbara and Jim Bascom. It's a joy to be back with you. We're in recovery from a three-day family reunion, and so treat us kindly, and I'm so happy to see all of you.
Even you, Barbara.
Hi, Scott Tenona. After a two-week vacation back east, I just had to travel back to the Boston area, and my father had a herniated disc that suddenly came on suddenly and basically paralyzed him from the trunk down. And so he had surgery, and he's in slow recovery and, you know, increasingly doing better and transferring from the bed to the wheelchair and starting to stand up. And hopefully he makes it back up near to where he was before, but it's going to be a long road. So,
Larry Weaver, 3 weeks ago I told you about the sorrow that my brother-in-law was killed in a car accident in Michigan. His wife, my wife's sister, was severely injured, but like Scott's father, is on the road to recovery in a skilled nursing facility where she'll be for several months. But given that it was a terrible thing, things are going as well as we could hope for. So this is a joy as well.
So it's a joy to be a part of this community. I was so thankful to come back after breaking my arm on the West Coast, and Dick Beeman was able to pick me up from the airport, and his son-in-law was able to drive my car back for me because I couldn't drive. But beyond that, even without a broken arm, it's just a delight to be a part of this wonderful family. So thank you all for being who you are. Happy birthday tomorrow to Bobette, by the way.
Shirley Hobrock, membership chair. We have a joy. I don't think I've announced it before. We have two new members. You want to stand up? Stephen McBee, and I'm just drawing a total blank. Okay? Yes. Let's welcome them.
Welcome. Hi, Kathleen Oldfather, and personal note, just want to announce that we went to the UU Music Network Conference, Musicians Network Conference last week. As you can tell, Michael's active in that, not me. But I attended some of it, and it was a great meeting in Boston, and the fun part was our three adult children and one daughter-in-law were able to come and be with us in Boston, as well as a couple friends. So we re-celebrated Michael's birthday and just had a great family gathering. And then on a fellowship note, just wanted to tell people, in case you haven't read it, that former member Jim Quinlan died, and there will be a memorial for him at the KSU Gardens next Saturday. I believe it's 10 to 1. I don't know how they're doing it exactly, but...
Okay, thank you to everyone for sharing, and may we remember those who have spoken and be mindful of the many joys and sorrows we hold in silence in our hearts. And now it's time for the story of all ages. So will the children please come down to the front, and Sylvia Beeman is going to share a story with us all. Maybe if I move these chairs. Did any of you go on a vacation this summer? Some of you? Yeah. And how did you get there? Did you drive or walk? How? Flew? Canoe? Not saying? Drove in your car? Yeah. Did anybody fly? Some people flew. Oh, they came up and met you. Well, when I was a little girl, I never knew anyone who flew anywhere. And I didn't even fly till I was almost 20. And probably some people did. And also, there was no computer. You couldn't Skype with your relatives. And we hardly ever talked on the phone because it cost so much. You could just practically just say hi to your grandma and goodbye. And anyway, I found this book called When the Relatives Came. And so also when I was growing up, when we went on a vacation, it would be just to go see our relatives. And my family, my dad didn't like to spend any money, so we never even stayed in a motel. We just drove all night and all day in the car. And we took crackers or potato chips and bologna sandwiches and a hunk of cheese. And my mom just would make things in the car while we were moving along. And I had three brothers and sisters. Someone always had to go to the bathroom, but my dad never wanted to stop. So a lot of families were like that. And there weren't any big super highways, so you had to go on these roads and watch the the electrical wires were above ground on telephone poles, and you just watched them swish by, whoosh, 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 and then the big trucks would come by, whoosh, whoosh, for hours and hours, and we played games in the car like looking for license plates from every state in the country, or playing I Spy. Do you ever play games like that in the car? Well, now kids take books and stuff and toys and little computer games and stuff. But anyway, this is a book about a family. It's called The Relatives Came. And my family moved a lot, and one place I lived with my family was the mountains of Virginia. And that's where these people lived. And here's a picture of the family getting ready. They packed all their suitcases, all kinds of weird stuff, weird striped socks. It was in the summer of the year when the relatives came. They came up from Virginia. And I bet they were from just where I'm from, because all of Virginia is not the same. Some is by the ocean. It's flat. Some is rolling hills. And some is mountains. And that's what this book looks like. The relatives came up from Virginia. They left when their grapes were nearly purple enough to pick, but not quite. What? Oh, nice teeth. Make you faces? Do you have a loose tooth? Oh, wiggle finger. Oh, a loose tooth. But they had an old station wagon that smelled like a real car. And in it they put an ice chest full of soda pop and some boxes of crackers and some bologna sandwiches. And up they came from Virginia. They left at 4 in the morning when it was still dark, before even the birds were awake. So, see, the mom's getting the kids ready upstairs. They're probably, we don't want to get up, it's too early. And here's Dad and Grandpa and some other relatives packing the car. Looks like Grandma. I know, funny. They drove all day long and into the night. And while they traveled along, they looked at the strange houses and different mountains they thought of, and they thought about their almost purple grapes back home. They thought about Virginia, but they thought about us, too, waiting for them. So I'm guessing they're driving up through maybe West Virginia, because the hills get even steeper, and they're funny little houses that look like they couldn't stay up on the hills. Somehow they do. So up, they drank up all their pop and ate up all their crackers and traveled up all those miles until finally they pulled into our yard. Hi! Come on, you finally made it! Yeah, hi! Then it was hugging time. Talking about hugging, those relatives just passed us all around their car, pulling us against their wrinkled Virginia clothes, crying sometimes. They hugged us nearly to death. Hi there, sweetie. Oh, sweet patootie, I haven't seen you in an age. They're giving each other kisses. Well, howdy there, how you been, Gramps? Well, I've been better, but I'm getting around with my cane here. Then it was into the house, and so much laughing and shiny faces and more hugging in the doorways. You'd have to go through at least 4 different hugs just to get from the living room to the kitchen. It doesn't look like all those people would fit in that little old house, does it? And finally, after a big supper, 2 or 3 times around until we got all a turn to sit at the table, there was quiet talk, and we were in 2s or 3s throughout the house just chatting with each other.
I just ate a donut.
Ooh, yummy! See, they use the kitchen table to serve the food. Here's the dining room table. And there's so many people, they had to serve in courses. Chocolate, my favorite. Oh, and your tummy's nice and full, huh? The relatives weren't particular about beds, which was good, since there weren't any extras. So a few squeezed in, and the rest slept on the floor. Did you ever have to sleep on the floor at your friend's house?
No.
You have? I've slept on the floor lots of times, too. Oh, some threw their arms over you in the middle of the night.
Last and some threw their legs on top of you in the middle of the night. It was different going to sleep with all that new breathing in the house. Oh, sorry. They ate up all our strawberries and our melons out of our garden. But they promised we could eat up all their grapes and peaches when we came to Virginia. They hauled out all their music instruments and we sang and we told stories. But none of us thought about Virginia much. We were so busy hugging and eating and breathing together. Finally, after a long time, the relatives loaded up their ice chest and headed back to Virginia at 4 in the morning. We stood there in our pajamas and waved them off in the dark. We watched the relative disappear down the road. Then we crawled back into our beds that felt too big and too quiet. We fell asleep. Do you remember how quiet it sounds in your house when all the relatives go home? Have you ever had that experience? And the relatives drove on and on all day long and into the night. And while they traveled along, they looked at the strange houses and the different mountains, and they thought about their dark purple grapes waiting at home in Virginia. But they thought about us, too, missing them, and they missed us. And when they're finally home again at their little house in the hills, they crawled into their silent, soft beds and dreamed about the next summer. Our speaker today is going to talk about how you can go on a trip and not have to stay in a motel or a hotel, and how you can make new friends. And that's one of the best things about going on a trip.
So I'm staying in a hotel.
You did? The end. Thank you for listening.
For that inspiring story, Sylvia. Now it's time for our offering. We share our gratitude for this community and our support for its health and growth.
Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never.
Thank you, Renee and Jeff. And I don't know that you noticed, but it was actually a sing-along. I was watching all of you singing along. So now it's time for me to introduce my friend Madonna Stallman, who's going to explain the spirituality of couch surfing. I can vouch for Madonna. She is an environmental advocate, an organic gardener, horticulturalist. She also kept bees at one time, and she is a very free spirit. I also suspect that she's been couch surfing for a long time, but not in a formal way. On a junket to Great Bend with the Kansas Native Plant Society, she talked some of us into booking into a place we'd never heard of. It was off the beaten path, called Heartland Farm, run by some nuns. We were skeptical. There was plywood in the rooms, and you know, the furniture was a little different, and we ended up loving it. It was an incredible experience, and it's the only time I have been kissed on the cheek by an alpaca. So I give you my adventurous friend, Madonna.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me come to visit you. I look around and I see so many friends. If I didn't live so far away, I think I'd be joining you all pretty much every Sunday. But I hail from Leonardville, which is a good 45 minutes away from here. But I do feel like I'm with definitely friends and very much like I'm with family. So I'm really happy to share this very important issue with you because it's something near and dear to my heart, and that's making friends, extending your kindness to others, people that you might not even know, and just doing what I feel is the most important thing in the world, and that is loving people. So as we get started, I don't know how many of you know exactly what couch surfing is, but if you can give me an example of couch surfing, could you raise your hand? Sylvia? Well, that's an example of couch surfing, but that's not exactly what I'm going to talk about today. Thanks, Sylvie. Let me see here. Here's my notes. Diane gave you an example of a time that we went couch surfing, but that was actually prior to my knowledge of the official community of couch surfing. So it's something that has kind of come natural to me. But I'll give you an example, another example, and it has to do with the Kansas Native Plant Society again. These seem to go well together. A couple of years ago, I wanted to go to the Kansas Native Plant Society annual conference. That's their annual wildflower weekend. But I didn't have the money to pay for a hotel for the whole weekend, and I really don't like staying in hotels that much. So I had heard about couch surfing from another friend on another road trip somewhere, and I decided to check it out. So what I did was I got on the couch surfing site. I had already made a profile, which you'll learn more about that later. And then I put in the city of Salina, Kansas. That's where the Wildflower Weekend was going to be, right around the Salina area. So there were about 20 hosts, actually 20 people in Salina, that were offering their homes for people to stay. And I searched through, and me being the age that I am, I really, as much as it's called couch surfing, I really don't want to sleep on a couch because I can't sleep on a couch. or on the floor. So I kind of go in and I look for places first that have an actual bed that I can sleep in. And I found somebody. I sent her a couch request, which you do on the profile. It gives you a little thing to click, and you send them a couch request. She got back with me, and we exchanged information through the website. You don't give any personal information out right up front, phone numbers or anything like that. But then we decided, well, she could see from my profile, and I could see from her profile, that we had a lot of things in common, besides the fact that she had a real bed that I wanted to stay in. But anyway, so then we finally exchanged phone numbers. We got on the phone, we talked, and we realized, oh my goodness, it's like I've known you for my whole life. And she actually did not know about the Kansas Native Plant Society and was thrilled that they were having their conference in her area. And she decided she wanted to go to the conference too. So from that, I have made a lifelong friend. My husband went along with me too. So that's an example of couch surfing. Now we'll play the video from the couch surfing website. It's called Welcome to Couch Surfing. Okay, well, as you might have noticed in the video, there's quite a few young people and a real party atmosphere, and I just want to clarify something. People that are couch surfing are not always partying and do not always have a drink in their hand. It's people that are really genuinely opening up their homes, opening up their lives, sharing their lives with one another. And one of the guys said, no money exchange. If there's any rule about couch surfing, that's the one they are adamant about. This is not a money-making venue. This is about sharing your life. And so no money is exchanged during couch surfing. And that brings us to the title of my talk is called The Spirituality of Couch Surfing. And I could probably go on forever about the spiritual aspects of couch surfing, but we've only got 30 minutes. Some of that has already been used up. And I really need to show you how to couch surf, because it doesn't do much good if I tell you about the spirituality of it and then you don't even know how to do it. So my best way to speak to this audience about the spirituality of couch surfing is to show you how there are parallels between the UU principles and the official values of the couch surfing community. I went on the UU website and found your principles, and there's seven of them, but I would like to point out specifically Principle 1, and I'm just going to paraphrase what it said there, but Principle 1, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Principle 2, compassion in human relations. Principle 3, acceptance of one another. Principle 6, world community. Okay, now I'm going to go to the couch surfing website and share with you the couch surfing values. We envision a world where everyone can explore and create meaningful connections with the people and places they encounter. Building meaningful connections across cultures enables us to respond to diversity with curiosity, appreciation, and respect. The appreciation of diversity spreads tolerance and creates a global community. There, this page is kind of jumbled up. I don't know, but it has all of the important information. Their number one value is to share your life. And I know you all can read, but I feel like it's real important that I go ahead and read these out loud so that we're all on the same page together. Couch surfing is about sharing your life, your experiences, your journey, your home, your extra almonds, or a majestic sunset. We believe that the spirit of generosity, when applied liberally, has the power to profoundly change the world. Number two, create connection. Connection makes us happier. We need more of it. Connecting with and accepting the kindness of strangers strengthens our faith in each other and helps us all become better people. Value number three, offer kindness. Tolerance, respect, and appreciation for differences are embodied in kindness. Number four, stay curious. We appreciate and share a desire to learn about one another, about the world, and about how we can grow as people and become better global citizens through travel. Five, leave it better than you found it. This applies to the world, to relationships, to your host's home, or to the sidewalk you meander down on your way to the coffee shop. We're here to make the world better, to enhance each other's lives, and to become stronger in that purpose by coming together.
Okay. Now what I'd like to do is go ahead and get started with how exactly you become a couch surfer. And this is a how-to for the surfers. There are people, when I started, all I did was go and stayed at other people's houses. I didn't offer my home right off as a host because I really wasn't quite sure about doing that. And I thought, well, if I put myself on there as a host, that means I'll have to always, you know, be ready to host people, and I'm just not ready to do that. Well, it turns out it's very, very flexible. And, of course, you don't always have to host every time you get a request from somebody. You could say, I'm not available right now. You even can put that, you can post that on your profile if you're not available to host, but your profile is still up there. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the website, and I'm going to log in, which I think I already am, and I will show you my profile. There I am. Okay. That's me and my husband. You get to put your own photos on your profile. And okay. I am a verified member. You can verify where your house is. That you are the person that you say you are, which helps with the trust factor, because, you know, okay, this is a profile, but are the people that are looking at it, are they sure that you really are who you say you are? The couch surfing community has a way of verifying your address and that, you know, you are who you say you are. So I suggest that once you get on there that you get verified with Couchsurfing, and you'll figure out the way to do that. Okay, I am accepting guests. I'm not going to read each of these to you, but I'm just going to go through them just so you can get an idea of the information that you provide in your profile. See, they ask you things not just like, okay, is your house ready? Do you want to have guests? And that's it. They ask you to put in your profile things that other people would be interested in so they don't feel like they're coming to stay with a total stranger. And I also suggest that once you start couch surfing, whenever you look for a host,
You read every bit of their profile. It's very, very important. And some hosts will be insulted if you come to them and just, like, want a place to crash, but you haven't bothered to find out who they are as a human being. So it's really important. And then also, you can know, you can pretty much tell if this person is going to be partying all night, you might not want to stay there, or maybe you do, you know. That's the kind of things that you'll find out from the profiles. Okay. And then when I became a host, when I became a host, I had put my home on there because, and that's one of the things I look at the first thing, because I want to make sure I have a bed to sleep in when I'm trying to find a host. And so when I became a host, I put my home's profile up there. And the profile, as you can see, they're going to say, how many people can you accept? There are some people that have, some people that I've stayed with, they have hosted 45 people in their home. They're bicyclists, and they have had groups of 45 people come and throw their sleeping bags on their floor and stuff. And they, and on their profile, that's what they say. We will host as many people as we can accommodate at that time, you know. So, and you can go in, see up here where it says edit my profile, you can go in and edit this at any time. Life comes with changes, and so you are not stuck with one thing the whole entire time that you're on here. You can always go in and change it and add new photos. Okay, so see how, can you see what they're asking here? So the person that's looking at your profile gets an idea. And I explain to them, oh, they give you an option when you're filling out the profile for your home. Are you going to have a shared bed? I mean, there are people that offer their home, but they only have one bed, and they say, I'll share my bed with you. So you have the option of saying shared bed, public room, meaning like our house, they would be in a living room, or they could stay in a private room, which you see up here, but the private room is real far away from the bathroom, so I don't like to put that up right up front. So I say the public room, or they have the option of private room. If a lot of people I know have guest rooms, and it's a closed door, so they have their privacy. But we don't have that situation in our house other than the upstairs bedroom. So you have those options of telling them what is available to them. They want to know what you're going to share. Like, are you going to share your food from your refrigerator? I would like to leave that option up to myself and the situation at the time. So right there, I just put our home in good conversation for what I will share. And then, you know, once the person gets there in the house or whatever, we'll make those arrangements and adjust as we see fit. I just don't want people coming to my house and thinking that I am going to be able to cook dinner for them and feed them the whole time, you know. But maybe that would happen. I explain exactly how far away we are, which is one of the reasons why we haven't hosted any yet. But once people contact me, I'll get the gunshot approach for people coming to the Manhattan area, and they start exchanging information with me. And then once they really, and I said, did you really read my profile? And they said, no, I did the gunshot approach. And I said, well, you know, I'm 45 minutes away from town. Oh, never mind. You know, because a lot of people, especially students, some of them don't even have cars, and it's not going to work for them. So, anyway, there you have it. That is how you become an official couch surfer. What you need to do if you want to do this is get on the website and start the process. And it's pretty easy to figure out. Once you get on there, they guide you through things. If I can figure it out, you guys can figure it out. Okay, how much time do we have?
15
more minutes. Do I have 15 more minutes? Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, what I'm going to do then is I'm going to act like I'm going to go somewhere. Okay. this, I don't know, there's something that's happening here. This is not what their web page, the page really looks like. Usually there's full pictures. So, but, okay, here it says, find hosts where you're going. Okay. Really, when you get on your computer at home, I think things will come up better. If not, you can call me and find out what's going on. I must say I'm going to Ithaca, New York, because I have gone there, and I've couch surfed there, and I've met several people, and I want to give you an exciting... Okay, so I put that name in there, and this is the list of how many hosts there are. Oh, well, that's near Grenoble, France. I don't know where that is. But this is... And that's France. What is going on here? Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. You guys, I did write Ithaca, New York in there, didn't I?
Yes.
Let's try it again. Well, if this doesn't work, then I'm going to act like I'm going to France. Now look at this. Look how many hosts there are. It's just phenomenal. In Ithaca, New York, there is somewhere between 1,000 to 2,000 hosts. People who want you to come stay with them. Now, do you want to stay with them? What you need to do is go to their... Okay, let's... And this is it, you know. I mean, these are people... Fun people, fun people. Okay, Yana, she's accepting. She's accepting guests. She's an active. I can tell she's an active couch surfer because she was just last logged in 2 days ago. Some hosts, the last time they logged in was like 2 years ago or something. And so, let's see. Her overview.
She's not.
Okay, you could see that she's not verified. So that's one thing, you know. You could say, okay, not verified. I don't want to go to her. But some people just don't want to get verified. They just haven't done things. So I'm just going to look at this just so you get an idea. But that's good for you guys to pick that up right away. No occupation. She has not listed much of anything on her profile. It even says 85% complete. Okay. There's actually more on a person's profile than this. This is for some reason this is not showing a lot of the information. Okay. Yana's home. Yana hasn't written anything about her home yet. Oh well, I don't think I want to stay with Yana. See, now she actually is probably more of a couch surfer than a host. Okay, let's go. Okay, now we're in Japan. Okay. When you guys look this up, I think it's going to look very, very different at home. This is showing up way... Oh, okay, and this is interesting, too. They show the response rate, because sometimes you'll send a request out there, and you never hear back from these people, and you're planning this trip a couple, you know, weeks away. So this gives you an idea of how well they respond. This is a 49% response rate. Okay. They last logged in 6 hours ago. All right. I'm going to go, okay, make this world greener and sustainable. You can tell them, see, all kinds of neat stuff. Now, I'm going to go because I'm interested in whether they have a bed.
I'm going to go look at this one's home. All right. Let's see. Smoking is allowed. Now, that might be a problem with me. I'm allergic to smoke. But sleeping around. We have two empty rooms where you can sleep on the floor. Using a sleeping bag or futon from us. Oh, okay, a futon on the floor. I might be able to do that. I have a couch in the living room that can be occupied. Okay, so, okay, you get the idea. I'm not going to go into all the details here. But you can find out, okay, I'm not going to have a car while I'm in Japan. Is there transportation? There it is. The additional information has a lot of important details that help you. Like, okay, we live on the sixth floor. Okay, is there an elevator? You know, that kind of thing. So you can really get a good idea. And then you can find out more once you send the request. And see, on the top of the page on my computer, it has a button that says send a request. So I don't know where it is on this page. Okay, so there it is, send request. Okay, so when you send a request, this is the kind of information that you give. When your dates, when you are arriving, how many guests, and then this is where Couchsurfing encourages you, please, they even say, write a sonnet about yourself. Tell these people who you are, why you're coming, what you're interested in, what you saw on their profile that you thought was interesting, and why you want to stay with them. They say, please enter at least 10 characters. Well, yeah, you should definitely at least enter 10 characters. And then you send it. And then it goes to their inbox in their email. They'll get a message in their email that you have a request at Couchsurfing. And then you go to your Couchsurfing site, and then you have an inbox there. So that's it generally about surfing, how to be a surfer, and then how to portray yourself as a host. Very basic. You will find out more by going on the website yourself at home and just checking into it. But if you have any questions, you guys can ask me after the talk today, and I'd be glad to give you my email and my phone number, too. I have to say that I have a motive other than just wanting to share the love. Manhattan area needs more adult hosts. You can imagine that in a college town, you're going to have, and this was really started, I believe, by college students anyway. You can imagine that there's, you know, a lot of college students who say, yeah, come, you know, throw a sleeping bag on the floor, whatever, party all night, whatever. But there are adults like you and me who want to go and actually stay with people and, you know, and be in their home. A lot of college students aren't even from Manhattan. They don't know that much about Manhattan in the Flint Hills area. And so when people come, they really would like to know more about this area. And when you go to the Couchsurfing site for Manhattan, there's really not many adults. There's not people with homes and not people with with, you know, beds, real beds. And the sad thing is, and I don't know, did you turn that off, Mark? Oh, I mean, Doug. Well, I was going to, I won't show you this. There's a gentleman that just recently came to Manhattan, and he wanted to stay in the Manhattan area because he had a job. He's a computer programmer, and he's building a program for the soil lab. That's his business. He travels all the time. He travels all the time. And he says it is depressing to go from hotel to hotel to hotel. And he said, I found Couchsurfing in 2007. And you go to his Couchsurfing profile now. He has 118 references. He has like something like 78 friends.
He has made so many friends around the world in his business, and not one of those references or friends has had a negative comment about him. But when Richard tried to come here, he couldn't find any adults to stay with, and he wound up staying with students, and it turned out okay. But he did get in touch with me, and he said, well, would you like to go out to dinner or something? And this is what couch surfers do too. They don't just go and stay at people's houses or whatever. They go and they meet people. I have three or four couch surfing friends now who I've never stayed at their house. But I go to Ithaca and I put my name out there, and there's people that get back with me and they say, oh, you found a place to stay? Well, why don't we go and have lunch or something? Or why don't we go out for coffee? And I'll tell you what I know about Ithaca. And so I have, and actually the last time, a young family invited me into their home and we had dinner at their house. It was absolutely lovely. And then I left. I didn't even stay there. But I'm making friends just by doing this, just by entering my information on Couchsurfing. So Richard did the same thing. We went out to dinner. Lovely man, lovely man. And I just feel so bad that when he comes here, he doesn't have a place to stay, when I know there's a whole church full of people here, a fellowship full of people here who are very friendly, who would love to meet him and would love to have him in their home. So I'm going to ask you right now, please, when you go home today, think about becoming a host. If you don't want to be a surfer, don't surf. But think about opening your home to these people and get on that website and let them know that there's people in the Flint Hills area that want people to come and share their life with them. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
So now we have some time for questions.
Okay. Any questions? Yes.
And
comments.
I'm Charlie Kempthorne. My wife, June, and I have been traveling professionally for 30 years, I guess, and would love to have done this. We never have, but you didn't. I know some of the items on the computer mentioned payment, but you didn't say anything about payment. I'm wondering, is there usually a charge? There surely is some.
No.
No,
absolutely
charge.
Not. It is, and I think I might have mentioned it earlier in the program, there's not many rules about couch surfing, but the one rule is no monetary exchange. Absolutely not. That is not, once that becomes any part of the focus, it taints things, and the expectations become different. You know, when you haven't exchanged money, you come there as a humble guest and a visitor. When you have exchanged money, all of a sudden you come as a what do you call somebody who's buying something? A customer. You come as a customer and you have expectations. No, that's not what this is about. What this is about is not sharing money, but sharing your life. And if you want to share money after the relationship has been established, that's between you and the people, but you're really not. What we do is we take people, and we've always done this before we did couch surfing, we take people out to dinner. We say, please, let us treat you out to an evening out to dinner. Then usually they accept, you know. With my friend Lene, I had a bounty coming out of my garden and chickens that were laying eggs. I brought her a basket of food. And then we also went out to dinner. So, but then she also joined the conference. I mean, it just keeps going on and on. No money's exchanged.
I think what Charlie was saying is that on the website, there's a payment verification, and that's probably just a very small monetary, just
right,
to confirm that you're a real person.
Okay. Right? This is, the structure of this organization is very kind of odd to me, and I won't even go into details about that. You guys can find out about all of that yourselves. This is not even a nonprofit organization. They call themselves a corporation, and they are a B corporation. They're one of those corporations that has to be certified for all kinds of things about sustainability and that kind of stuff. The only money that they collect, And that is for verified members. You want to be a I want it to be a verified member. I want it to build that trust factor in my profile. I sent them $10. This is, you'll find out about it once you get into it and look into it yourself. To be verified by Couchsurfing, you send them a check for $10 and all of your information, and they either give you a phone call, they give you an email, or actually they send snail mail, something back to you. And so there is a confirmation about your address and your home. And that is payment verified? Yeah, payment verified. That's the only money that they take. And they have something like maybe four people on their staff that are operating this place. And what's really interesting, you go on there and you look for a phone number for Couchsurfing, no phone number. For an organization who is talking about connection and everything, to me, in a way, they say, you guys all get connected, but then we'll keep you a little bit at arm's length. I have not talked to a human being. I've done everything back and forth through computer and through the snail mail. Not talk to a human being yet through Couchsurfing or in the Couchsurfing administration. Talk to lots of them that partake of Couchsurfing. So that's the payment. Any other questions?
Hi, Madonna. I joined Couchsurfing probably about 8 years ago. But the thing is about being verified, people are not going to stay, as you demonstrated, with someone who's only had maybe one person or has never had anyone. So I had a couple come and stay with me, and it was a lovely experience in my little tiny place. I gave them the bed. I slept on the floor and let them have my one bed. They were attending a stone carving seminar, which I think is an annual event here in town. And I had a nice time chatting with them. They were only there for one night. But since I haven't had a lot of people calling and coming, people who look me up, and at this point I'm probably off Couchsurfing because I only had that one couple. I never verified. And, Now I'm not on there anymore. But I'm still...
I bet you are still on there.
Well, I still intend to continue being a couch surfer. Yeah.
Well, Anna, what I hear you saying, though, is you kind of are thinking, because I haven't had many people that, people that are looking up, people in Manhattan, aren't interested in me or that... And the way, what I am thinking about, because now that I've really done the research just for doing this program, I realize, I haven't had anyone stay at my place so far. And I'm really excited about this. I want people to come stay. So this is one of the things that I think needs to happen. Small towns, have a difficult time with this. In big cities, they have couch surfing events all the time. They get together and they say, hey, come stay at my home. Right here in my own town. Come stay at my home and then verify me or give me a reference. And they actually have, and I'm seeing more people on the Couchsurfing hosting site for Manhattan now. And there's one couple that just started up, and they actually started a club called the Manhattan Outdoor Club. And they wound up hosting Richard, the man I was telling you about, but they just recently signed up. And I've decided that I'm going to get in touch with them. I'm going to have them either come out to my house for dinner or something like that, and then they can verify me. And you can get, uber verified, where you get, this, they call it old school patch. You actually get a little symbol where these arms, all different colored arms, are crossed, and that's where you have so many people give you a reference or that like you and want you to have other people stay there. Then you get a little badge from all of these, and it's posted on your profile. And that, that helps too, because that this person is really serious about this. But I think that maybe what we need to do, Anna, is really start stirring up this couch surfing community in Manhattan so that we start verifying each other and giving each other good references. And have some events. Maybe we'll do some Manhattan Outdoor Club events or something. Okay?
One last comment.
I have a question regarding, I'm a single woman living by myself and all that. How do you verify a person is not dangerous or something, you know, if one's a counselor?
Well, they have a safety link in their website, and they are very concerned about safety. And they also, if you go on YouTube and you put a search for couch surfing safety, wherever, they have videos about that. But and I can understand the single woman thing. You could put in your preference for one thing. Maybe you don't want, you know, another sex staying in your house with you. Just, you know, you want just females or whatever. You can put that in your profile. They ask, do you have a preference for gender? You know, you could do that. I suggest to you that if somebody requests to be hosted by you, that you, before you ever see them in, you know, real life, that you talk with them on the phone. You can get a real good idea. And so what you're going to have to do is talk back and forth a little bit in the couch surfing website, and then when you feel safe enough that, well, you've looked at their profile too. You look on their profile and see what you know, do you like this person's profile? Did they give you enough information? Then you feel safe enough, you say, here's my phone number. Give me a call. Let's chat. And that's what I've done with everybody I've stayed with so far. We talk, you know, after we've exchanged information on the website. And then the couch surfing website, as you saw, can be clunky sometimes. There's just things that don't really work. I don't understand. What we saw here today is not what I see at all on my screen at home. So anyway, it's kind of clunky. So once you feel good about this person, you go through the website, then you might exchange your email address or the phone number. That's what I suggest you do first before you ever see them in person. And if you don't want somebody coming to your home right away, you could say, why don't you come meet me at the restaurant, and then we'll go to my home from there. But you meet them at the restaurant, and you go, I don't have a good feeling about this. You can say right then and there, I'm sorry, I don't feel good about this. And then you can suggest, there's other hosts in our area, you might try that. You know, but I suggest phone call first before you do anything.
Thank you so much, Madonna.
You're welcome.
Glasses.
Thank you. Okay, please stand and sing with us as you are able. The closing hymn, 324, Where My Free Spirit Onward Leads.
Thank you.
Let us embrace this spirit of adventure and go forth to surf safely. And please join us in the Narthex for coffee and conversation. Madonna will be available to talk to you there.